This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
We're in that last 10-day stretch before football really kicks off. Obviously, the first weekend of college football coming up on Saturday and the first week of NFL games starting next Thursday. We're 9 days away from the start of the NFL season, so we've been having some fun, just goofing off. Joe Burrow, Drew Brees, I take Burrow. And I knew a lot of Saints fans, because we do have a big audience over in Big Money and to the east side of Texas, some people aren't taking it so well. Just a matter of preference, everybody. I didn't really put much thought into this argument. I'm just saying, if I were to pick a quarterback right now, I'd take Joe Burrow over Drew Brees. Do you want to argue with me? Guess what? It's a one-man show, and I have a little bit of plausible deniability because, theoretically, I don't have to have anyone on to debate me, you know? But this show isn't about debates. This show is about goofing off. It's about fun. It's about love. And by the way, Houston, we have love. Congratulations to Travis Kelce. Congratulations to Taylor Swift. As Travis dropped down to one knee, I think. I don't know if Taylor did. Maybe Taylor did.
In the pictures, it looks like Travis did. But we don't. That could be staged. We don't know.
It does seem like this engagement photo was staged, which all engagement photos are to a degree. But bringing it back, Travis Kelce popped the question to Taylor Swift. She said yes. By the way, C-SPAN posted this 15 minutes ago. This is so funny.
From C-SPAN.
This is so funny. I wonder who the unlucky reporter was that had to ask this question. But I got to say, I'm disappointed in this answer. President Trump on Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's engagement. Good God. You must want to kill yourself when you're out there asking that question. I wish them a lot of luck. I think he's a great player. I think he's a great guy. And I think that she's a terrible person. So I wish them a lot of luck. End quote. Wait a second. What? Hang on. Hang on. We can't be flip-flopping this quickly, can we? Didn't Trump, like, weeks ago say
I believe it was just her? I hate.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Huh. Yeah, because he's been posting, she's lost value, that she's lost momentum.
Maybe he just likes Kelce that much, where he's like, you know what? I'm willing to look the other way on this one, because my boy, Trav, that I've seen basically every year since I've become president when he wins the Super Bowl.
This is so funny. NBC News. Trump comments on Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Every single, like, major news publication.
Oh, yeah, because anytime you can put a headline together that has Trump and Taylor Swift in it, people are going to click.
It's the perfect storm.
People are going to click. Does Arch Manning have thoughts on this? Shadur Sanders? Can we ask Shadur Sanders what he thinks about what Trump thinks about what Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce?
What does Kevin Stefanski's racism have to do with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift getting engaged?
RG3 is making a video right now.
Oh, he's got to. He's got to, with Greta sitting awkwardly in the background, his wife. I'm going to ask artificial intelligence, please summarize in bullet points succinctly every time Trump has talked about Taylor Swift. And we will get back to that.
I like how you say please to artificial intelligence.
I always do.
Very polite.
I do with
this. You know what? They probably talk to their other AI friends. They go, Paul. He's one of the good ones. He's one of the good meat bags.
Except for when they talk to my Alexa, where I'm verbally abusive to my Alexa.
Well, you know.
very abusive to my Alexa. Very. Very. I actually, I changed my Alexa's voice to a man so I would feel more comfortable yelling at it.
Do you still say Alexa?
Yeah, I have to say Alexa. But I do.
That's interesting.
I do yell at my male Alexa. I'm not a sexist. Paul, it's actually sexist to change the name to a male name so that you can yell at it. Fine, whatever. What do you want from me? It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call to text. I did ask AI who is better between Breeze or Burrow, as one texter is asking, and I'm just not going to share the results of that answer.
One-man show. We don't have
to. Not going
to
share them.
We don't need to get in debate. This is not a debate show.
It's not a debate show. This is a I say thing, and you might hate what I say, or you might like what I say, and hopefully you stick around because you either like the car crash or you actually agree with what I had to say. That's what we do here. These debate shows are stupid. Like, who actually wins? No one. You lose time. Why are these people yelling at each other? I would just get up and leave if these two people started having a difficult conversation, okay?
That'd be a good name for the Greenberg Show. Get up and leave.
Get up and leave. I like that. Oh, boy. So, Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, engaged. Houston Astros, Yordan Alvarez. Back together.
Engaged in the lineup?
Could be. Could be. We'll see. We are never, ever, ever getting a designated hitter. We are never, ever, ever getting our designated hitter. Yordan hurt his hand. We thought it was a strain. It turned out to be broken. Because we have never, ever, ever had a designated hitter for 2 to 3 months or so. That's right. There's a little homage to Taylor Swift there. Paul, I just killed myself hearing that. Well, I'm sorry. Sorry. Respawn. You'll be okay. You'll feel better.
Yeah, thanks for texting after you killed yourself.
It was impressive. You know, we were talking about best resurrections ever since, yeah. You know, old the big man.
Joe Flacco,
and that guy who Jesus just texted in. So, Yordan is expected to be in the lineup tonight. But we don't really have any evidence that corroborates that. It seems to be a gut feeling. He will be with the team. Jake Myers is about to start a rehab assignment. And Isak Paredes posted on his Instagram story that... I'm not even really sure if it's a post. He reposted someone saying... He's out for the year, saying, coming soon. It felt like maybe there's a little bit of a language gap there or something like that. I don't know. But people were getting very excited about that. And I got to say, I'm not. Desert Stroh says that the Colorado Rockies lineup is out. Astros should be posting soon. It's probably because the Rockies only have like a couple of major league caliber players.
Like, who cares? So, here it is.
Yeah. They're like, and we're just leaving it the same as last night. We're just,
just changing the
whatever thing. The last time we play, we're just going to use that, you know? From the 713, a texter says, if you followed singing up with the Southern Gentleman, we would all die. Well, listen, the Southern Gentleman, he does not need to defend the Paul Gallant Show from any legal recourse or anything like that. Okay, shout out to... Grok, who has summarized all of Trump's interactions with Taylor Swift. I guess August 1st, 2012, Trump got a photo from Taylor Swift saying, thank you for the beautiful picture. You are fantastic. October 30th, Trump tweeted positively about Swift co-hosting a Grammy nomination special. October 8th of 2018, responding to reporters about Swift's endorsement of Democrats, Trump said, I'm sure Taylor Swift doesn't know anything about Marsha Blackburn, who is some, I guess, country musician. Let's say I like Taylor's music about 25% less now, okay? February 11th of 2024, on Truth Social, Trump claimed he signed the Music Modernization Act that made Swift wealthy and warned against her endorsing Biden. June 10th, in an interview for the book Apprentice in Wonderland, Trump described Swift as very beautiful, actually, unusually beautiful, but questioned her liberalism. She is liberal, or is that just an act? 2024, he shared AI-generated images on Truth Social depicting Swift as Uncle Sam endorsing him. This is where it is. September 15th of last year,
after Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala Harris, Trump posted, "I hate Taylor Swift." May 16th of this year, double down. August 4th, while praising Sydney Sweeney on Truth Social, Trump said of Swift, "Ever since I alerted the world that I can't stand her, hate, the woke singer is no longer hot." And August 26th, so this was, I'm right, this was 3 weeks ago. Now he's like, "I wish them a lot of luck. He's a great player. She's a terrific person." I love this. It's like the Paul Gallant show. We don't even remember what we said. I mean, just say what we're feeling in the moment.
Next week when you're like, the Bengals lose week one, you're like, "See, this is why Breeze is always just going to be better than her."
I'm so going to gaslight people at some point. 100%. Weestraw says, "I just learned way too much about Trump and Taylor Swift in this segment." Yeah, we all did. Didn't we all? But you know what? The friends we made along the way, that was what we won. It is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Someone just posted a picture of Yordan Alvarez at the place where Travis Kelce proposed to Taylor Swift. Announce it, Astros. Meanwhile, Space Cowboys posted, I guess, their upcoming schedule for this year with Travis Kelce as Space Cowboys fans and Taylor Swift as the Space Cowboys schedule. And then also Travis on one knee, $5 Frozens, Taylor Swift standing up, us. Wait, do they have LTN for margaritas?
$5. Did we just learn something new?
All right, this show has been all over the place, but honestly, I'm really proud of how much range we have shown on today's show.
Oh, my God. Yeah. We've done the least sportsy.
And most sportsy.
Two segments, and yes, the most sportsy two segments.
We told you that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are engaged. We gave you an embrace debate, barbershop. Yes. Quarterback back and forth. Yes,
Joe Mixon is going to be out for the first month of the season.
We asked some serious questions about Joe Mixon. We even gave you a deep steel blue pill. Guess what? I have another one.
What? There's another one?
I got another deep steel blue pill for you next. Stick around. You'll get it, baby.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's the Paul Gallant Show. We know a thing or two about barbershop debates here on this show. Do we know them because we watched the Eddie Murphy movie Coming to America, which came out in the 1980s, and have based every single thing that we know that happens at a barbershop, and we're talking about a black barbershop based off of that movie, and whenever Gary calls in and talks about what they're talking about at the barbershop.
And the movie Barbershop starring Ice Cube.
Right. Good point.
Yeah.
I have watched that movie.
I do like that our barbershop conversation, though, is like two white quarterbacks that we're arguing about. Like, it's pretty sanitized.
Do sports debate, asks this texter, happen at white barbershops? Udrial debate, green bean casseroles, and Subaru models. No. First off, last part, we're not lesbians, sir. There's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. But generally the assumption is with a Subaru, either you're from the Pacific Northwest and are a very outdoorsy person, or that you are a lady that likes a very specific type of significant other. Again, we're not shaming it, but that is generally the association that is made with Subarus. It is. Okay? I'm just talking about what we talk about. Also, green bean casseroles, first off, they suck. I'll say it.
I'm cool with them.
My dad liked making them. I always was disappointed. That was our contribution to the family dinner. That was our contribution to Thanksgiving.
Green bean casserole. Thank you, Mr. Gallant.
My favorite. Well, everyone loves my green bean casserole. You know who doesn't? Your son. Your son doesn't. Your son's like, green beans are awful.
Yucky.
There's nothing you can do to make a green bean good. There's nothing you could do. Paul, you could put it in garlic butter or saute. No. Green beans are awful. That's my other hot take of the day. Joe Burrow over Drew Brees. Green beans, burn them. They're awful. Awful. But no, I'll be honest. It's been such a long time since I've been to a white barbershop. There used to be this place in Hanover, Massachusetts that I would go to called Barca's. And I think I was too young for any of the other men there to engage in debate with me. But just know then, back then, if we were talking about Paul bringing up a random quarterback from back in the day versus quarterback from back in the day argument, I actually would have had the information readily available to win a debate against an adult. Now the problem is due to a combination of drinking and CTE from playing high school football and video game addictions and a lot of other things that have made me less productive. Now, no, I can't. I can't win a debate with facts. I can only win a debate with pizzazz. You know, I have to go Stephen A. Smith. I cannot go 10101111 Bill Barnwell style or some of these other folks out there, you know, but you know this by now already. And Hopefully you're just around for the ride because you find the ride to be amusing. This strange, weird white person who's extremely pasty, who does not go to barbershops because his hair stylist. Oh, yeah, that's right, Sailor. I have a hair stylist has been cutting his hair for 7-8 years or so.
What kind of debates do you and your hairstylist get into?
No, we're each other's therapists. We just talk about relationships and stuff.
Okay.
She's great. Annie's awesome. If you never DM me if you ever want to get your hair cut like mine, because my hair, wow. Right now, wow. Not a great hair day today, but my hair, wow. Stomach again? Wow.
Yeah, you keep snapping.
Someone compared it to Fabio this week? Wow. It was done sarcastically. Don't care. Wow. Anyway, hey, everybody. I got something in my front pocket for you. It's a Deep Steel Blue Pill, baby. Hit me.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep, steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this deep, steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texans score! Okay. Will Anderson, in the eyes of many, now going into year three, has to be considered a Houston Texans leader. He was on a podcast that I enjoy listening to. I don't know how many people have checked this out, but I think Chris Long is a very good podcast host. He's the son of Howie Long, played in the NFL for the Eagles, for the Patriots, for the Rams. I think he's entertaining. Doesn't take himself too seriously. Just the right amount of bro, not too much bro. You know, busting with the boys, sometimes I'm like, you know. Chris Long, not so much. But Chris Long had on Texans defensive end Will Anderson on his podcast. And Will Anderson talked about the Texans mentality going into this season.
I thought last year, man, I know it wasn't what people wanted to see from a results standpoint.
Yeah.
And I'm watching y'all in Kansas City. You guys almost beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be something that you come out of that season and say, hey, we learned something this year. What was it for y'all as a team, you think?
Execution.
Yeah.
Execution has been the biggest thing that we've talked about all offseason long. Precision and execution. And CJ said something like, you have fun when you execute. And I wholeheartedly believe that, man. But, like, in these games, those teams that's winning the championships or winning the Super Bowl, they're executing at the highest level. Like, everybody is locked in. Everybody is detailed. Like, it's no room for error. And that's, like, the biggest thing that we took away from that. Like, it's no room for error. Like, everybody has to be locked in on their job all four quarters.
They certainly learned that the hard way last season. And I like hearing that from Will Anderson. But a little bit of a battle red pill to perhaps awaken you to the real world with your deep steel blue pill here. One of the things that is definitely frustrating looking back at last season is that the execution never improved. It never did. And I'm sure that D'Amico Ryans and all the Texans coaches, even the ones who were gone in film sessions, were pointing out the little details that the Texans were not executing on. Some of those guys who were not good at executing, Laremy Tunsil, they're no longer here. And I say that with Tunsil because, listen, man, false starts, It's a 5-yard penalty no matter how good you are at tackle. So some of those guys are gone, but the execution never got better as the season went along. And I like hearing that C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson are talking about that going into this year. But also remember, these guys are very familiar with the idea of execution, given C.J. Stroud played at Ohio State. It's about as high stakes as it gets. And Will Anderson played at Alabama under Nick Saban. Again, as high stakes as it gets. So it's something they already knew, execution. Maybe they needed the entirety of last year and the sour taste that it left in their mouth to, I guess, really have it drive home. There's no denying that this is a very intense football team, physical football team, especially on defense. But those little things were such an issue, even compared to the year before last year. And of course, you're going to make some excuses the first year of a new head coach, the first year of a rookie quarterback, where you're like, wait a second, they took a step back on that front. So good, they notice it. The execution of said execution remains to be seen. At the very least, they're talking about it in a way that is unlike last year, where they seem to be saying, yeah, we're still doing a lot of good things. If you're trying to have the healthiest life you can going forward, appreciating the good is certainly something that you need to do. Something I need to do. Something my therapist tells me, something the girlfriend tells me. Like, I have to appreciate some of the good that I do from time to time, which, believe it or not, does occasionally happen. But if you're playing in the NFL, you gotta be on top of all those small things. And, you know, go watch the Cowboys documentary. Go from Jimmy Johnson's intensity to Barry Switzer's laissez-faire attitude. That latter part is not necessarily wrong, but they needed a Jimmy Johnson. Patriots went from Bill Parcells to Pete Carroll. They needed a Bill Belichick, who's closer to Bill Parcells. Not everyone's for that. And D'Amico at times felt a little bit closer to a Switzer, to a Carroll, than you would have liked, just given all the mistakes that they were making over the course of last year. It's not to say he's not a hard ass behind the scenes. It's just,
yeah,
our interactions with him were like that. And we know, as a former player, he's a bit of a player's coach. It doesn't mean he doesn't get hard on his players at all, but he certainly has a different tact than the yellers and the screamers of yesteryear.
Yeah, it definitely felt like last year. I think last year we would talk about it. We'd be like, are they just telling us this, or do they actually believe that what's happening is good or fine?
Yeah, you know, like, it's like gaslighty.
Yeah, I was like, we feel good out there. No problem with our offensive line. And it's like, no, there's obviously a problem. But it felt like in the moment, or now it seems like just in the moment, they just weren't going to say it publicly. But they all knew that it wasn't good enough. And I think that it helps to get not 100% to get like Laremy Tunsil out of there. But some of that mentality to have your leaders, or have, you know, two guys like Stroud and Anderson be able to step up as leaders in that locker room. And these guys are ones that are talking about execution and really obsessing over it. That does give me kind of it gives me optimism that things will change. Like, they won't just talk about it, they actually can change it. Because Tunsil was a guy who was just kind of like, oh, just gonna do my thing. Yeah. I'm a good player, but meh.
And now that a guy like him is out of the way,
it just clears up more oxygen for these guys to step
for the
up.
Other guys. Right now, Anderson's on the defensive side of things, and Danielle Hunter, I think, also is one of those guys. Anderson's talked about this, who always is like a calming presence for Anderson specifically. But going to be very interesting to see if the execution is better this coming season. He is Sean Mace behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. I like hearing all those things. Let's actually see it in action. Execute the execution. Ugh. Sounds kind of violent and graphic when you think about it like that. Up next, who's had the worst takes in all of sports?
Paul, you just said earlier in the show that Joe Burrow's better than Drew Brees, and that didn't provide any evidence to support your argument because you're a stupid idiot.
Some would say touche, but that is not in Worst Take Tuesday, unless you want to make it a part of it. Worst takes of the day. Worst takes of the week. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put. First, let me tell you about my friends at Walmart. Everybody, you know what they're saying about Walmart if you've been listening to this show long enough. The Walmart you thought you knew, it's now new. Who knew? I actually went to Walmart last night. Got myself a couple of household goods to help with the organization of my place. Walmart has more than half a billion items online. And if I could have been a little more patient, I could have ordered these things online. A couple of little containers. There's so many things that you can order from Walmart online. And you can't find it in stores. And get this. Groceries are part of the equation now at Walmart. And you can deliver groceries at Walmart for the same cost that you would if you were to go into the store and buy them there. Even better, Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour. You already know the prices are low, but they do that on top of it, and they don't charge any extra for said delivery? Hell yeah. Use Express Delivery to get all the eligible things you need from Walmart, from groceries to home goods and prescriptions. When it comes to feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, or throwing a party, think Walmart for all your grocery needs. Walmart.com. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Go to Walmart.com.
ESPN 97.5. With the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Yordan Alvarez, people are wishfully of the belief that he will be back in the Astros lineup tonight against the Colorado Rockies. We will see probably in about 30 minutes if that's the case. They are 1.5 games up on the Seattle Mariners in the AL West. Mariners beat the Padres last night. Biggest news in sports today. It's not NFL roster cutdown day. Nope. If you thought it was that, are you stupid? Are you dumb? You thought it was that? Travis Kelce got down on one knee and proposed to Taylor Swift, and she said yes. That is the biggest news. What Kansas City Chiefs are going to get an invite to the wedding?
Oh, that I cannot wait for the pop, pop culture part of it to be like, yeah. Wait, Tyreek Hill's at this wedding?
Unbelievable. They let
Rashee Rice is one of the groomsmen? He probably won't be one of the groomsmen. But just like who, how many Kansas City Chiefs with, say, checkered pass are going to be here and just be like, wait, why is Taylor letting this person at her wedding?
That's a good point.
There's video of what Kareem Hunt did.
There's going to be, it's a great point. There's going to be an extreme vetting process, I would imagine. Chris Jones exposed himself at the NFL draft.
That was an accident.
It was an accident.
It was an accident.
He's a key player. Patrick Mahomes' wife might be a Trump supporter. Can Taylor Swift allow her to be there?
Yeah. They share a whatever suite at games, but can they share the most special night of Taylor Swift's life?
Good point.
Find out on E! News.
I mean, there's a very good chance that there are tickets sold to this wedding online. It does become pay-per-view. There's also a very good chance that Jason Kelce hijacks the speech to promote their podcast.
I mean, his best man speech. I'm just putting him in the best man speech role.
What if he doesn't get it? I mean, that would be fun controversy. And instead it goes to Patrick Mahomes or something like that. What Patrick Mahomes?
Or just like some guy we don't know. Like Travis Kelce's like college roommate.
Some
or
random
something.
Dude from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be it.
With the checkered past, I'm assuming, because he's from Cincinnati.
That's also true. What if it's Joe Burrow? That would be amazing.
And specifically not Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I think you're the best number nine in NFL history.
Also, I think you're a better quarterback than my actual quarterback. I would love just something stupid to happen here. What if Tom Brady gives the best man speech? Because Travis is like, damn, I'm not worthy. Just like my quarterback isn't worthy.
It's like,
and it's like Rob Gronkowski gives it. He's like, damn, the only tight end better than me. Clearly and definitively. Better blocker, better receiver.
I like how you've just turned it into
like supporting all of Paul's agendas.
Yes.
That's like what this wedding is going
to
be about.
And paying people that have no like relationship with them.
Hey, listen. No one has done more to support that couple on social media than me.
In Houston sports talk radio. Yeah.
No one has. No one has. I said Kayla DeCole needs to shut her bleep mouth once. Or did I say shut the bleep up? One or the other.
Oh, what's her social media looking
like? Kayla DeCole, has she done a podcast about this already? Can't wait. Maybe we should have her on tomorrow's show. Want to send her a text?
I'll reach out. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. Who had the worst take over the past week? It's Worst Take Tuesday. Hit it.
Did you have a bad take?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Don't listen to that guy. We love him.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
It's Worst Take Tuesday.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
The Big Ten's being insufferable. So, we found this out over the last couple of days. The Big Ten wants to expand the college football playoff to 24 to 28 teams? Big Ten and SEC would get 7 auto bids. ACC and Big 12 would get 5. 2 auto bids for non-power 4 schools. 2 at-large teams. Conference championships. Bye-bye. Heather Dinich of ESPN presented this on an episode of College Football Live. Reese Davis, the voice of reason.
That's why the Big Ten has turned its attention to a 24 or 28 team playoff model in 2026 and beyond.
I'm just going to say this flat out. I don't believe they're serious about this. I believe this is like when you go to sell your house and you say, I'm going to ask, you know, $1 million more than I really will settle for. They're trying to get something back on the other side because on its face, this is absurd. It's absurd.
Hell yeah. Get him, Reese. This is the most insufferable thing that the Big Ten has done in quite some time. And the Big Ten used to have two divisions called Legends and Leaders. Slow, plodding football with two good teams and occasionally Penn State.
That's the most offensive part, is that the Big Ten's trying to get 7 of these schools in.
Insane.
7?
7.
7?
We only want to see Michigan and Ohio State. We don't want to see anyone else.
Yeah.
Sorry, Cignetti at Indiana. Sorry, Penn State. Do anything. Ever.
If we're talking about 7, like we're getting to like
Illinois.
We're getting
Purdue.
To Northwestern. Like, doesn't even have to be that good to be the 7th best team in the Big Ten.
You could make an argument for 5 to 6 SEC schools a year that are like, okay, yeah, they're top 15 to top 20. Like last year, South Carolina, Ole Miss.
Yeah,
they were teams Alabama. 3 teams with a legitimate case for the college football playoff. Now we're going to have 7 Big Ten schools. So F off with that. And Reese Davis, for whatever reason, has been trolling the Big Ten. And I like Reese Davis for this. Here is another episode of College Football Live, I believe the next day, where he laughed at the idea of Penn State and the really difficult opening conference non-conference slate.
You mentioned comes in the first 3 games. They play Nevada, FIU, and Villanova, a very similar schedule to what Michigan had 2 years ago on their way to the title and Ohio State had last year. 3 cupcakes to find yourself before Big Ten starts.
Oh, Pete, how dare you? You know only the SEC plays cupcakes. I read about it from the Big Ten fans on the X machine. Oh, there are no cupcakes there.
It is funny. The Big Ten, very guilty of that. Talks a lot of trash about the SEC when, once again, the Big Ten is always Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State losing in a big-time spot, almost having a full invite to the party, which they deserve credit for given that they nearly got the death penalty about a decade ago.
Yeah, yeah. The Big Ten is like actually just as self-interested and bad and anti what most people want than the SEC. They're just like their fans are just less annoying about it than SEC fans are, I'll say.
I agree, but I think they're starting to get closer.
Because now it's like the Big Two, you know? Mm-hmm. And now it's like the SEC will just catch a lot of arrows for what things are doing. But now the SEC and the Big Ten, it at least appears that what they want is kind of diverging a little bit, because the SEC was like, hey, we're cool with 5 automatics and then 11 at-larges. Just we'll figure it out because the SEC is like, we could get a lot of those at-larges most years. And the Big Ten's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What if we have some auto qualifiers where every, you know, you get two, we get four, SEC gets four, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, the Big Ten is like kind of, I don't know. It feels like they're really showing their cards of like, we just want to automatically make the playoff and get money.
Yes.
That's really all we want. But actually winning and losing games doesn't really matter to us.
Important to clarify, too. I always forget that the Pac-12 schools got added. Oregon is there.
Yeah, that's fine. I was going to correct you, but I was like,
No.
They're not really Big Ten schools.
It's not really. It's like, can we stop calling it the Big Ten, too?
That, too. There's 18 teams.
So it's three schools now and kind of Penn State. It's the same thing. Like Wisconsin, no. Washington, no. Sometimes.
Nebraska, I think, is going to be pretty good this year, but no.
USC,
no.
No.
Get your house in order, USC.
Exactly.
UCLA,
never.
UCLA is a classic, like, yeah, sleeping giant.
Sleeping giant.
In your mind, they're better than they actually are.
Iowa football, baby. Just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, they would make like 10 straight college football playoffs under this proposal.
Oh, God.
Because they're good enough to be the fifth best team every year.
They are. You're right. More from Worst Take Tuesday. Did you know that we are on the verge of a carrier dispute that if you have YouTube TV, you might not be able to watch any games on Fox this weekend, including Texas versus Ohio State on Saturday? It's possible. But don't worry. You can take care of this. Just do what these Big Ten coaches are telling you to do and lick Fox's boot.
YouTube TV customers, listen up.
You could miss Big Ten football games on Fox,
FS1, and Big Ten Network.
Don't miss any Penn State football games. For more information, visit keepfox.com today.
Support your team wherever you live.
And don't miss any Big Ten football.
How did James Franklin get to say, don't miss any Penn State football games?
I was like, I was starting to roll my eyes, A, because of the whole thing, B, because I was like, are all of them going to list their freaking school? And, like, there's 18 of them. So they're just, it's going to be 20 minutes of
no, it was
Penn
18
State.
Seconds, and they did.
Oregon.
They only had one school name themselves. And, of course, it's Penn State. This pro-Penn State agenda. Oh, my God. Like, sorry. Hard pass.
Yeah. Hey, listen. People don't forget Penn State. That's all
we
I'll
don't.
Say. I'll quote
we
super
don't.
Bad. People don't forget.
We don't. You wish you peed your pants. You wish you did. You didn't.
A lot of people would.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. Worst Take Tuesday continues. Dennis Schroeder, the same guy who compared the NBA trade deadline to modern-day slavery, said this: I'll never be loved in Germany as much as Dirk Nowitzki because I'm black. Quote, when I was 14, I sat in front of the TV watching Dirk Nowitzki carry the flag at the 2008 Summer Games in Beijing. Back then, I thought, how cool. There's no greater honor. It's a great honor, but for me, it will never be the same as for Dirk. I will never receive the same love in this country because I am dark-skinned. Dennis, he's one of the best players in the NBA in the last 25 years. He beat LeBron in a finals. Come on, man.
Yeah. Like listen.
Duh. No way.
We're not going to sit here and stick up for Germany's tolerance here.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit different of a situation.
It's
a little bit different.
Speaking of Penn State, we remember what you did. Yeah,
people don't forget Germany.
But this is such a reach. Just like comparing the NBA trade deadline to modern-day slavery, which he did. Worst Take Tuesday continues. Ryan Clark believes Chris Brown is the greatest entertainer ever. This is why I could never take Ryan Clark seriously, because he's often trying to come off as if he needs to be taken seriously. And while trying to lay this out on the pivot, he was very seriously trying to say that Chris Brown is a better entertainer, more talented entertainer than Michael Jackson. I don't really care to make this argument because also, you know, we remember what you did, Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
We also remember what you did, Chris Brown.
It's really troubling how often we could say this.
I don't want to engage in this, but like Chris Brown on the same level as Michael Jackson? Are you on crack? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Michael Jackson was the greatest entertainer for like, what, 15 years?
Is Chris Brown the greatest entertainer right now? Among alive people today?
Is Chris Brown in jail? I don't know. Like that,
I think he's touring right now.
More likely in jail or best entertainer ever? I would say in jail.
Oh, in jail is much more likely.
Much more likely.
He's done that before.
Yes, he has. Yeah, he beats women. What? Beat Rihanna. We don't forget.
People don't forget, Chris.
People don't forget. And one last one to wrap up Worst Take Tuesday before we go straight into garbage time. Here is Chad Johnson when confronted by Shannon Sharp and former NBA player Joe Johnson about whether or not he, like Boomer Esiason, had to pay for his trip to a Bengals Ring of Honor celebration.
Those that are part of the Ring of Honor alumni have been back once already. You sit in the suites. You don't sit in the stands. Now, as far as room and board goes, I'm not sure how that works. I always stay at the AC Hotel right
on
the
Do you pay for that? Or do they pay for it?
they have a...
Do they pay for it? It is a simple question.
I don't remember.
Did it come off your credit card or did it come off their credit card?
I remember because I didn't book my stuff. My baby. She upstairs.
No. At the time, you were not with your baby upstairs. So when you go back for function for the Cincinnati Bengals, are you paying for it out of your pocket or are they comping everything?
They should be comping, man.
That's what I said. Chad, you see what he did? He went all around that. He did all that hucking and bucking.
I don't know if Chad's like doing a bit here or defending the Bengals or if he's legitimately trying to defend the Bengals here, but was terrible, bro.
Does like to do that. He likes to defend the indefensible. Okay. He likes to go like, oh, man.
Well, so he defended Chris Brown.
I don't know if he's gone that
the Germans,
far. But
Schroeder's take.
I do like that Joe Johnson jumped in there. I played for the Atlanta Hawks, like, and that seems small time.
Yeah, even they paid for it. Anyway, that wraps up Worst Take Tuesday. Let's get right into garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
You may or may not be familiar with the legal issues of Steve Smith, former Panthers wide receiver, Panthers broadcaster, NFL Network from time to time. In the midst of a Panthers preseason game, he was asked about this Bojangles advertisement in the middle of the broadcast, and Steve Smith hilariously and self-deprecatingly brought up the most recent time that he's been in the news.
7 yards out, that touchback puts the ball to 35 with the new dynamic kickoff rules. A reminder from Bojangles. Scan the QR code on your screen to claim a free Bo's chicken sandwich. Steve Smith already did it.
Boom.
And don't forget, drive through Bojangles after the game with your gift card or free sandwich from tonight's broadcast. It's a win-win for fans and flavor. Steve, our fans run into you guys going through the drive through after the game, are you going to treat the fans to a chicken sandwich if they spot you?
No, bro, it's one chicken sandwich. Man, y'all know my situation. I can't afford to be helping anybody right now. Sorry. Hey, here's one thing, though.
I'm glad we went off camera.
Hey. The play-by-play guy walked as far away as he could from the camera for that. That was hilarious by Steve Smith. Very self-deprecating. If you're that dude that is suing Steve Smith for $100,000 as part of a homewrecker lawsuit, which is a thing in North Carolina, claiming alienation of affection. If you hear that and like Steve Smith's making jokes about it, that's gotta suck.
That he can't buy like a whatever $5 Bojangle deal.
Yeah. I mean, he's suing for over $100,000. I gotta say, like, that's it?
Yeah, because I'll be honest, I forgot about him being sued by the other guy. I thought he was just making a divorce joke. I thought that was because he's going through a divorce.
I mean, it could be that, too. It could be both. You know what? Probably a little bit of
both. You know what? I'm assuming his lawyers are expensive as well.
Yeah. You know what? Now that I don't know why. For some reason, I was like, oh, yeah, she must have stayed with him. No, I'm sorry. I watched the Cowboys documentary last night, and I just assumed that everyone looked the other way like they did for Michael Irvin a lot of times. Holy crap, Michael Irvin.
Women look the other way on stuff, right?
Yeah. I got to say, the amount of patience that Michael Irvin is shown throughout that. And Michael Irvin, very amusing person in front of a camera. One of the best NFL players ever.
One of the best ever.
That guy That guy was the worst. He was the worst.
I would say, I echo everything that you said. Michael Irvin, electric personality, electric football player, love him on my TV. I would never want my friend to ever behave like Michael Irvin behaves in the 1990s Cowboys documentary. I don't want to know that person. Oh, it seems dramatic.
Anyway. Here we go. Michael Irvin. That documentary rules.
It does rule. This show has kind of been a off and on a platform for that documentary. We really want you to watch it. It's very good.
It's so good. If you love 90s football, you'll love it. There you go, guys. That's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Texter says, gotta love closing your show, ripping off bits from other shows on the same station. You're right. Talking about bad takes, that's such an original segment. Unbelievable. We'd have to commit seppuku after the show. Anyway, before I commit seppuku, please subscribe to the podcast. Leave a nice little rating. 5 stars. Please don't commit seppuku, Paul. Don't do it. Apple, Spotify. Big thanks to all of our callers, texters, YouTubers, Twitchers, and appers. Even if you are foolish and think that Drew Brees is better than Joe Burrow, we still love you. Anyway, a big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.